Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, join John Carpenter for A Journey with Mary, an in-depth look at some of the many places Our Lady has been throughout the world since 40 A.D. Came from the Catholic Defender Radio Network. That's Journey with Mary, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, Sunday nights on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
Let it be, let it be, yeah, let it be.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week, we do take a close look at one of the appearances that she has made somewhere in the world, sometime in the last 2,000 years. Yeah, you might think, oh, she's shown up maybe four or five times. Most Catholics can name maybe five, maybe six times they've heard of. But the truth is, from the International Marian Research Institute in Dayton, Ohio, they have logged carefully close to 2,700 over the last 2,000 years, starting in 40 AD and going up to right now, today. That's right, today. And it comes to a little more than one a year. So she's been busy and she's been consistent, coming everywhere around the world, from Russia to Vietnam to India to China to Korea to South America, Australia, all over Africa and Europe, of course, and even the United States. So, you know, she is not made up by one person somewhere who wished to tell a cute story. She has been showing up when no one expected her to show up. No one was asking for her to show up. And even when she did show up, a lot of times they didn't know who she was or what was going on. Sometimes they were afraid. Sometimes when they found out who she was, then they didn't feel worthy to be the visionary and beg for someone else to do it. So it's not like people were asking for this, dreaming it up, or wanting it to happen. They were astounded like any of us would be if we suddenly had an encounter with her. We'd have the same reactions. So our purpose on this show is to study these different visits, the best ones. I've studied about 100 now, and that's a lot. That's a lot. But they're the best detailed ones that we can find. Yeah, there'll be some others, but sometimes we have to wait till someone writes a book about it or shares their research to really know about it. For example, in Kibeho, Rwanda, that happened in the 80s, but we didn't get the book on it until 2006. So, you know, things can happen, but that doesn't mean we'll know what went on until it's detailed or documented or written up at a later date. So we like to present it to you for your education, for your awareness, for your information, for your inspiration, and hopefully you'll see what we've been seeing, that there's distinct patterns in all these details. It's not like a whole bunch of fantasies shared going 1,000 different directions. There's a very distinct pattern that occurs with each appearance. And no matter what country, what decade, what century, what part of the world, it's the same type of details over and over and over. And we always like to point that out to you as we go along, so you might be aware of which ones we're talking about that just show up every time. And if you listen for a while, you already know. You probably laugh every time. Oh, there we go again. There's that same details we heard last week. And in fact, this week we've got another interesting story, because last week we talked about some mischievous angels who were doing heaven's bidding, but confounding a few humans in the process, that didn't understand why things didn't go the way they wanted them to go and how they kept going the way heaven wanted it to go. Well, tonight that's going to happen again in another story, and you'll see as we go along. But first, as always, we like to talk to our team here. And first, I'd like to bring on my co-host, who is healing nicely, and that's Donald Hartley. Good evening, Don, and how are you tonight?
Well, John, we're doing great tonight and glad to be back. And I'm glad that Deeper Truth is back live, man. And I got this scripture right. Yes. And I think this is very good because you go, who is this that looks forth like the dawn, faint as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army with banners? Well, who do you think that is? Well,
I would say we know.
I would say it's the same. I would say you go to Acts chapter 2, verse 17, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your sons and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and my maidservants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath. And, you know, when you think about that, John, that's exactly what this is all about with Our Lady appearing and coming about. That's exactly what this is all about.
Yep, absolutely.
And I can't help but think about what Our Lady says about herself. Like, this is very important, I believe, that Our Lady refers to herself, my soul magnifies the Lord. And I hope that we can say that we do too.
Well,
because our
we help her to shine on this show, that's for sure. She's in the spotlight and definitely glorifies the Lord by her presence and her work in bringing churches and shrines and different groups of people closer to the Lord.
Right. And my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, and behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. So, John, I think that says it pretty much all, don't you?
Yeah. And what do you think, Mike, in New Jersey? What do you think of all that?
Well, it's quite remarkable. I've been noticing a contrast between Mary in the scriptures and Mary in the apparitions. And one of those is the last recorded words of Mary in scripture was at the wedding feast of Cana when she told the servants, do whatever he tells you. Well, in the apparitions, it almost sounds like that's been switched to do whatever she tells you.
However, she has said in her apparitions that she does not come up with ideas on her own. She does what
Absolutely.
God tells her to do. Yeah. And she also says that Jesus is with her
She set that pattern in her life. Why would she change it?
Right. Right. Yep. So she's not acting on her own, folks.
I wouldn't want to be the fellow who would have to calculate her frequent flyer miles.
Well, she's earned a lot of free ones, that's for sure, and she's making good use of them.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have Doc from Tennessee. How are you tonight, Doc?
I am happy and blessed, better than I deserve. I want to add to what Mike said. When she told the servants, do whatever he says, what did she do before that? She told Jesus, there's no wine, and what he said, it's not my time. Mary has such a strong influence on Jesus and on us. I mean, you can't really say no to your mother unless she's a psychopath. But, you know, well, they're out there. You know, I mean, let's be real. But when Mary comes down and tells us to do things, I pretty much take that as law. I mean, because first off, she's not going to step out of what the Trinity is telling her. I mean, she's up there running with the big boys. And
right.
if she's going to come down here and give us a message, I'm pretty sure, you know, they've had the heavens equivalent of a staff meeting on it. You know,
mm-hmm.
and this is what's going to happen. This is what they're going to do. And this is what we're going to do to show them we're real. So, yeah, I could see Mary coming down saying, do it. And, yeah, boom. But I think it is part of a larger group. I mean, you've got the Trinity. And
mm-hmm.
like you said, John, she doesn't do anything without God. None of us do. So
right.
that's just my little thought on that.
I like that. I like that. Yep. And, in fact, in one apparition, one of the kids asked her a question, and she actually said, I'll get back to you on that. She had to go back to heaven and check something out and then tell them that on the next visit what the answer was. So that's happened a few times, actually, where she couldn't answer their question and said she'd get back to them and did on the next visit with the heavenly response. So truly an intermediary. So, all right. Well, good to have you all with me tonight on Journey with Mary. And we're going to Italy in 1557. You know, last week it was 1541. The week before it was 1531. So we're moving right through the years here. Now we're at 1557, Rapallo, Italy. That's right. And let's get a little bit of this story going here. She was known as Our Lady of Montalegro, and we'll find out why in a little bit. This began on July 2nd, 1557. A farmer named Giovanni Cicisola was walking on a donkey trail on a wooded hill overlooking the city of Rapallo, Italy. And coming upon a cool, shady spot, he paused for his noonday rest. But the sound of a sweet voice calling his name startled him to alertness. There, standing close beside him, was a beautiful lady surrounded by an intense light. I told you we were going to say when there's similar details, and every week it seems like we start with someone seeing a beautiful lady surrounded by a bright light. Here we go again. So this is what I'm talking about when I say we have such repeating patterns of precise details. And also the sound of a sweet voice, that is often how her voice is described, as sweet or musical or soft. And Juan Diego in Guadalupe's story, he described the sound of a sweet voice calling his name and lured him to the hilltop where he found her in a brilliant light, beautiful as could be. So, again, we can almost predict these stories are so similar. So, the Blessed Virgin Mary appears to him and reassures him by saying, quote, "Do not fear, Giovanni." She could have said, "Be not afraid," but "Do not fear, Giovanni. I am the Mother of God. I have chosen you to be a messenger of my motherly will. Visit the ecclesiastics of Rapallo and let them know that the Mother of God has chosen this place as her perpetual dwelling place and would like a church to be erected here. I leave here a pledge of my love," unquote. There again is another detail asking for a church to be built. Very common trait. Well, so he wonders what that means, leaving a pledge of her love there. But she directs his attention to a small picture propped up against one of the rocks where he had been resting. She goes on to say, tell the people that this picture was brought here from Greece by the angels. Okay, she's telling on the angels. They stole this picture from Greece. Okay, she just told on them. Now remember this. So she says, tell the people that this picture was brought here from Greece by the angels. I leave it here as a token of my love for them. Fast on Saturday, unquote. All right, I'll stop right there for a second and see what reactions you all might have.
The picture came from Greece. Do we know exactly where from Greece?
Not yet. I don't know if they're going to say here or not.
If it came, a lot of the churches back then all the churches back then were built by donations, correct? So if the picture belonged to a church, then it belonged to God. It was the parishioners gave to God their time, talents, and treasure. I mean, what was that one in the Old Testament where old boy kept back some of the money and Peter said, you're not lying to me. You're lying to the Holy Spirit. You're dead. And his wife came in, you're dead too. it belongs to God. And if you think about it, all of it does. Real quick question, because I'm having a hard time hearing. What was the gentleman's name that saw this?
Giovanni.
Giovanni.
Gioso. Yeah, Giovanni. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the vision of Mary then disappeared as if carried away in a cloud. The farmer, Giovanni, studied the icon on the rock. The picture depicts our Blessed Mary lying on a bier a funeral bier at the time of her passing from this world onto the heavenly kingdom. The Holy Trinity is represented by the figures in the central part of the icon. Surrounding the Virgin in a mournful attitude are several saints and two angels. Giovanni attempted to pick the icon up off the rock, but he could not budge it at all. Much to his surprise, a spring had begun flowing from the dry ground by the rock, the exact spot where the Blessed Virgin had appeared and stood. Okay, so two interesting things here. An object that cannot be picked up or budged. We've heard that a number of times. Two stories, and we'll talk more about that. And then a spring of water just starting to flow out of where it never had been before, but ironically right where Mary had been standing. So we got two more details that are common to other stories as well. What, just offhand, why do you think that he couldn't budge that picture? It's leaning up against a rock. How hard is that? But he tries to pick it up, he cannot budge it one bit. What's your take on that?
Because heaven put it there, and heaven wants it to stay there.
Yeah. Well, she wanted a church there, right? She wanted a church there, right? So if he moves the picture, how's he going to know where to put the church? Wait till you get some more people there, and then we know where we're going to build it.
There you go. So he went to the village and told the people what had happened. The priests, to whom he told his story, were skeptical, but because of Giovanni's excitement, they reluctantly followed him to the place of the apparition. There they did see the picture, which none of the peasants could lift, and also the spring, which had mysteriously appeared. One of the priests raised the portrait without any difficulty and carried it in procession to the parish church, where it was carefully locked up pending further investigation. But guess what? The next morning, the picture had disappeared from the church, only to be found back up on the rock on the wooded hill. Reminds me of last week when we talked about the statue of Mary that disappeared from locked surroundings and kept appearing back on the altar again. And here we go again. The picture disappears from its locked place inside the church and is all the way back up on the hill leaning against the rock again. So once again, the villagers brought the icon back down the hill and to the church, where it was displayed all day to the veneration of many. The people were impressed with the details of Giovanni's experience. At the end of that day, the icon was locked away for safekeeping. But they were surprised the next morning to find that it had disappeared again. After a long search, it was discovered back up on the hill, leaning against the rock overlooking Rapallo.
Why would it be a long search? Wait, I want to jump in.
Yeah.
Why would it be a long search? I mean, common sense should tell you, hey, it's probably back where it was. I would have looked there first.
I don't think they wrap their head around that. I think they still thought maybe it just got moved somewhere in the church. I mean, I really think they couldn't quite wrap their head around the fact that it would go all the way up there again. But
apparently,
I think
not.
They're going to get... Yeah, apparently
I think
not.
I have a copy of that picture hanging in my dining room, too. I think.
You might.
I don't know. I got a lot of religious pictures. But I remember a picture with Mary and some angels around her, and I think it hit that description. I have to check.
Yeah, I think on my website, divinemysteries.info, if you go to the Mary icon, click on it, and then click on Table of Contents, and then click on Italy, and then it will show all these cities. And go to Rapallo. If you go to that article, I believe I have a picture of this icon in there. It looks really old.
You have to text that to me, John. You got to send that to me in a text. You have to send that to me in a text. I won't remember it.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. So all agreed that these supernatural journeys of the picture were a clear sign, an indication that the Blessed Mother wished for the icon to remain up on the hill in that particular place. They believed that they should build her requested church on that spot so that it could house and protect the treasured icon. So the very next year, in 1558, the Archbishop of Turin authorized the building of a church on the, quote, Hill of Joy. That's what they call it now. The Hill of Joy where Mary's visit had taken place. Construction began immediately, and during the following year, the church opened and was dedicated to our Blessed Mother. For 17 quiet years, the precious icon was loved and venerated on the Hill of Joy. But guess what happened? In 1574, a group of Greek sailors sailing from Ragusa experienced, that must be where it was, Ragusa, Greece, sailing from Ragusa experienced a bad storm while crossing the Gulf of Tigulio. The ship's captain, Nicholas de Allegretis, together with the crew, promised Our Lady that if they were saved, they would make a pilgrimage to the nearest sanctuary dedicated to her. Upon safely reaching land, they climbed the hill to the sanctuary to fulfill their vow of thanksgiving. It was then that they noticed the treasured icon, recognizing it, and declaring that it was formerly venerated in Ragusa, Greece, but that it had mystically disappeared from there in 1557. Imagine that. Of course, Mary already told who took it. The Greeks claimed ownership, which resulted in court proceedings before the magistrate of Genoa. Eventually, the icon was given back to the Greeks for safe transport to its original location back in Ragusa, Greece. The icon was taken to the port, boarded on the ship, and placed in a secure location. The ship was well out to sea when the icon suddenly disappeared. Eventually, the captain and his crew learned that the icon had reappeared back in the church on the hill where Our Lady had wanted it to stay. So all agreed this time it should remain there out of respect for Blessed Mary's wishes. So that was a real trick. The ship clear out to sea in the middle of the Mediterranean, and suddenly from its locked chest aboard the ship, its picture just disappears. Those angels, they can make anything happen. So the angels then took it all the way back to Italy, up on the hill, into the church, and where it was supposed to be. Now, that's pretty impressive, really.
It really is, because, I mean, when Christ was resurrected, he could walk through walls, move rapidly from one place to another. His body had been transformed. Now, when we get resurrected, when we come into ours, we'll either be damned or we will have similar abilities. It says that in the catechism, and that's part of church teaching. But the physical object, you know, the angels can pass through anything, but an actual physical object that they could impart that ability to that object and then move it, that's the real miracle.
Yeah. Well, that's the job of angels. They do heaven's bidding, and it's pretty cool, though. I love that story because I'm just picturing, if that were a movie, it'd be a great scene where the picture just disappears from inside the locked chest on board the ship. And then to find out, can you imagine then finding out it was all the way back up in the church, and here you are out at sea? I mean, that would be a one hell of a magic trick. So,
yeah,
pretty cool.
But you should say
yeah.
Nothing on that.
Yeah.
So
with
that
every
show,
year,
with Penn and
no,
Teller, how did I do it or whatever?
If you've ever watched Star Trek, they just beamed it back.
Yeah. Well, this is 1557. So every year, the 2nd of July is celebrated as Apparition Day. The people of Rapallo travel to the Hill of Joy in a grand procession, carrying an ancient wooden crucifix and a silver shrine with the mother's statue. Upon reaching the sanctuary, the first-time pilgrim is amazed by the huge collection of votive offerings and ex-votos, some of them in silver, which decorate the walls, giving proof of prayers answered and miracles worked through the Virgin's intercession. Records reveal that Our Lady's intervention brought about deliverance from the plague in 1579, 1590, and also in 1630. On these and other occasions, the people saw to it that Our Lady was thanked by means of votive hundreds of which still hang in the basilica. That's a lot, hundreds of them. The ex-votos became so numerous that galleries were built to accommodate them. These additions to the sanctuary soon proved inadequate, since the plaques multiplied to such an extent that even the cloister and sacristy were covered with them. So the Sacred Congregation of Rites in 1739 granted the plea of the city of Rapallo to name Our Lady of Montalegro as its patroness. Once again, the shrine found acceptance with the Vatican when Our Lady of Montalegro was crowned in solemn ceremonies on July 7th, 1767, by the Bishop of Ajaccio, Corsica. In the chapel of St. Joseph can be found the spring that began flowing from the time of the apparition. So it's still flowing. It is said to originate from the rock where the icon was originally found. Today, the rock is found almost concealed at one side of the altar. And what of the water from this miraculous spring? Well, a white marble trough with a faucet is provided for those who want to drink the water or collect it in bottles. Just above the faucet is a small door through which you can see the rock. It's visible when you look through that little door.
So they built a chapel. They built something, or what is it, a chapel, did you say, around this spring?
Yeah, Chapel of St. Joseph, they call it, and it's right there.
That is amazing.
Well, and this is a basilica, so the chapel's probably in the basilica. You know, it's probably a side chapel or something. But 'cause the whole church was built on the site. But what's really cool is that, yeah, right on the side of the altar is the trough where you can collect the miraculous water. Plus, you can look through the little doorway and see the original rock. The original rock that the picture was propped up against. I just think that's so cool. So
I win a Powerball. I'm going to all these places.
Pilgrim, maybe you ought to go
I'll
to these places.
I'll take y'all with
first,
me if you want.
If you go to all these
places,
maybe
you'll win
the money. Powerball.
Huh?
Oh, I was just teasing. Anyway.
No, I'm going to offer a monastery first, and then, yeah, we'll go travel to all these apparition sites.
Pilgrims can approach the site on foot by way of an old mule track or by cable car from Rapallo. I guess you can hop in the cable car and travel to the top of the hill. Pilgrims are intrigued with the beauty of the sanctuary and the treasured miraculous icon, the picture which is now called Our Lady of Montalegro. In the basilica which replaced the original chapel, the celebrated picture is enshrined in a pavilion behind the high altar. Tarcisio Cardinal Bertone, the Secretary of the State of the Vatican, joined in the celebration for the 450th anniversary of the appearance of Our Lady of Montalegro in 2007. The feast day of Our Lady is celebrated with great joy on the first 3 days of July each year. Story, guys, huh? Isn't that something?
Mm. Outstanding.
The whole page.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, quite a sight. I'd love to go and see all that.
Oh, good.
And here, Lourdes gets all the attention for miraculous water, but there's a lot of other places that have miraculous springs and healing waters, and there's even one in Champaign, Wisconsin. They had a well there that everything was healed that anyone that drank from that well. I don't know if it's still operating,
John,
though. Yes,
John, you and Greg both have been there, haven't you?
Yes, and when I was there, I asked somebody about that well and the water, and they looked at me funny, like they didn't know anything about it. Because I'd read it in a book, and they weren't around at the time that that was going on. It was 1860-something when the well was doing its thing. So they didn't know about it firsthand. And that's too bad, because I was thinking, gee, that should be there somewhere. But I guess not. Or I didn't ask the right person.
Right, probably.
And, yeah, somebody probably knows. I mean, if they wrote a book, somebody knows where it was. But, yeah, this is a really cool little story. And the picture, the rock, the spring, all the original elements are right there from 1557. So, and yet nobody talks about this story from Rapallo, Italy. You don't hear about it. They don't teach it. No one talks about it. And it's a great little story. It's got a lot of cool elements in it, healings and angels and, you know, things moving, you know. So,
well, we've
anyway.
Talked about that. Hold on. Yeah, we've talked about that before, how it's not mainstream media. None of this is. And, you know, out of all the things that the media should report on, it should be this. I mean, there's a song out there, and it says, the line goes, you know what's wrong with the world today? People done gone and put their Bibles away. You read the Old Testament. I mean, I know read the Acts of the Apostles and everything, and that's great. But read the Old Testament. To all the people out there, I'm breaking the fourth wall here. I'm going to talk to you. But listen, read the Old Testament. Look at how many times the people that God chose, all the people in the world, he chose the Israelites, how many times they turned away, how many times they dropped the ball. God doesn't move. God doesn't change. We do. And that's
right.
Our problem. You know,
right.
you read about how this guy walked righteous and he was valid and he walked in the way of God, and then his kids went off and they screwed it up. And when they talk about the miracles that happened back then, people saw them. It was communicated. Now the evil is so entrenched and they have control of the media, miracles that actually, because I hear a lot of people say there's no proof. There's no proof of God. There's no proof that any of that stuff in the Bible happened. And I'm like, what, are you blind? And then I realize, well, the miracles that are happening around us 24/7 on this planet right now, people are oblivious to it because no one tells them about it. You know, I have a friend, we're beginning his conversion, and I was telling him about your book, and I told him about that mural on the stone that goes in 2 feet. I said, did you hear about that in the 90s? He said, no, you know, and we talked about a lot of things, and unfortunately, he's an old man, so he's got a lot of influences. from the past, and I'm going through the process of breaking them down. And it's really an amazing journey. But the thing that gets me and the point that I'm trying to make, I know I'm babbling, but the point that I'm trying to make is that if the media would just break away from their bonds, step up and report this stuff, the world would be so much better. We would be nicer to each other. Just out of the fear of offending God.
You know, I asked the media person about this very thing, and they said, we find it very fascinating, very interesting, but the problem is we don't like to air anything that can't be explained. I go, what do you mean? They go, because we get hundreds of calls to the station wanting to know how that could be or how that's possible, and we don't have any answers, so...
Well, you know what,
superiors,
John, it's not their job to give the answers. It's their job to report the event. That's the thing.
I
mean, see, you watch the news and then you watch a show for 30 minutes telling you about the news you just heard, telling you how you should feel about it. Back in the day, the news just reported this happened. And if they call the station, well, you got to have faith, click. Well, you got to have faith, click. Hire some intern to sit there for 8 hours and answer the phone and say that. You know, it's real simple.
Yeah.
But they don't do it out of fear because their owners won't allow it. Their owners are diabolic, and they cannot preach about God, talk about holy events, miracles, or any of that. It's considered superstition now and nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, it's not. Been going on since man could start doing the cave writings and all. As soon as we got ascension, as soon as we got intelligent reason, God made his presence known to us. And he hasn't stopped. We do the show every week to prove that.
Yeah. Well, I agree.
We are in our own, how to go? We are in our own Testament. You know, the Old Testament, New Testament. This is our testament. I am the son of so-and-so and son of so-and-so, and this is what I did. I walked rightly in the war in the Lord, or I turned against from the Lord.
What do you
How
think about
this, write
Michael?
About us in 1,000 years?
Michael in New Jersey, what do you think about this?
Very interesting. You know, the I've often said that when the media covers an event, they take dozens of pictures, sometimes more than 100. I don't want to see those. All they use is one or two. I want to see the ones
right.
they don't use.
Exactly.
Right.
And what you hear, for example,
when the president
makes a speech. They do a lot of editing. When the president makes a speech, you hear 12 seconds of it,
mm-hmm.
which is supposed to be the essence of what he said, but it usually is not.
Now imagine if we could get a cable TV channel that would do Journey with Mary every week and go someplace in the world. We'd go to Rapallo, Italy. We'd go to this site. We'd show you these things. And then
Let
the next
me win
week
the
we go
ball
to
and make it happen.
No,
seriously, I'm on
money.
Board with that idea. I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but wouldn't that be a great show? The travel Journey with Mary would actually journey to the Marian sites every week and go to a different one and tell the story and show the things that are there now and artifacts and anything. I mean, there are so many stories. It'd be easy.
The one show that we're doing now is heard by a lot of people.
This is true.
So maybe someone with connections out there get hold of us.
it would be nice to actually have boots on the ground at where these events happen, where people could see. I mean, they can go to your website and see the articles, but to actually see the spring. Look through with the camera, look through and see it right there. I watch a lot of shows like that, Unknown Mysteries or Forgotten Lost Places or whatever, and you can read about them or you can watch an hour-long show, and I guarantee you, you know, if it's done right, you'll get about the same information. And you'll get a better experience from the visual.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a good idea. What do you think, Donald?
Well, I mean, I was at Medjugorje, and I could tell you that had a great impact on me. And I think it had a great impact on millions of people that have gone there. And so anywhere that the Virgin Mary has appeared, that the church has not condemned. There's only been one reported apparitions of the Virgin Mary that has been formally condemned, and that was Bayside, New York. So don't listen to some of these cheapskates out there that's trying to attack Medjugorje or attack that which the church has given a positive. So that's what
decision,
matters to me.
Right. Right. Well, I think we have some good
Well, you know,
I do know Michael
O'Neill,
who is on EWTN. He's done some shows where he's traveled to some sites, not necessarily apparitions, but maybe Eucharistic miracles or saints, and he's done a few shows. He was one of them that listed like 2,000 Marian apparitions on his website, the Miracle Hunter. And he's had me on his radio show 3 times now, basically for each book. And he has all my books. And we were talking, Doc, about that one on the cave wall in Colombia. And he said he really liked to go there and see that one. I said, "Will you take me with you if you go?"
I would love to have a conversation with him. I definitely have a story to tell him.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Well,
have him call me.
What do you expect from medium? John?
Yeah.
John, what do you expect from a media? What do you expect from the media that can't even get, they can't even get the Trinity right? Listen to this.
Mother of wisdom, Father of light, Spirit of love, fall afresh upon the hearts and the minds of our world, our nation, and especially our brothers.
They can't even get the Trinity right. How about that Trinity? That was the 1988 invocation at the Democrat State Convention of Texas. It was held in Houston.
Well, you got the Democrats. Aren't they the ones who booed God? So what do you expect?
The same ones. I've got that somewhere in his library. I've got that on tape, too.
Yeah, they booed God. So as far as I'm concerned, they don't know what the Trinity is. I mean, seriously, anybody who's going to boo God has absolutely no understanding of what God is.
Well, I just proved it to you. They have the Trinity. They have the wrong Trinity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's right.
That was in 1988. It's worse now.
No,
since
my
then,
gosh,
they
yeah.
booed God.
Since then,
well,
they've come out fully out. They do not hide their hypocrisy. They're evil. I'm sorry to say it, but, you know, I know a lot of friends. I have a lot of friends that were former Democrats, and they've left the party flat out because they cannot abide by the evil. I mean, they consider themselves good people, they are good people. They do a lot of good work, but the party they're supporting is satanic, and it's doing satanic things, and they just don't want no part of it. And I commend them for speaking out. We'll probably get some letters from that comment, but you can direct them to me. I'd be happy to apply or to reply.
There you go. That's
now,
good.
Just to let you know that tomorrow the saint of the day tomorrow, which we will be covering tomorrow, is Saint Ignatius of Antioch. No, Saint Ignatius of Loyola.
Yeah,
he's a great one.
Yeah, very good. I'm so glad you do those and send them out. That's great.
Yeah. Well, you know, Saint Ignatius of Loyola, he was wounded in battle, and as he was recovering, he was reading the lives of these saints, and look what it did for him. Made him a great saint, and he founded the Jesuits.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
maybe Doc, after reading or listening to a lot of these saints, it might make him the founder of a great order, you know.
I would love, I'll tell you what, there was a Powerball, I don't know if y'all saw it, was close to $1 billion. And I was driving through the parking lot and said, if I win that money, I'm opening a monastery here in Tennessee. That's what went through my head. I knew I wouldn't win it because that's what went through my head. But, yeah, I'd do it.
Pray on that one.
It would be devoted to the Latin Mass, though.
Well, whatever. Yeah. Hey, guys, we're about near the end of our time. I'll tell you that next week we'll be going to Russia. Yes.
Ooh.
Kazan, Russia. It's Kazan. And it's a short story, but it's a really good one.
Okay.
So Russia even got Mary to visit, and we'll find out why and what was going on. And the year is 1579. So see, it's still in the 1500s. 1579. So we'll look into that next week. And it's about time for our worldwide Hail Mary. So any last comments before we go to that?
If you get a chance, go see Sound of Freedom. Support that ministry. We have to help these kids. 50 million children go missing every year. And you cannot begin to imagine the horrific life that they have. We have to save these guys. No one else will do it. So if not me, who?
Very good.
Well, excellent.
All right. Well, I ask everyone out there listening to join with me from around the world as our voices will come together in unison and rise up to heaven, where we hope heaven will smile as we hear, as they hear our voices venerating our Blessed Mother. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Nomine Patri Filii Sancti, Pater Noster, qui es in caelis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, et veniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in caelo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debite nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos da malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri Filio Spiritui Sancto, sicut in erat et in principio et nunc et semper saecula saeculorum. Amen. Nomine Patri Filii Spiritui Sancti. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Donald, you can close it out.
Well, our prayer for priests. Lord Jesus, we your people pray to you for our priests. You have given them to us for our need. We pray for them in their needs. Let them see you face to face in the Eucharistic bread. And St. John Vianney is the patron saint of priests, and pray for us. And he said, St. John Vianney said, when you have made a good confession, you have chained up the devil. And he also said, if you invoke the Blessed Virgin Mary when you are tempted, she will come at once to help you, and Satan will leave you. And so, O Jesus, our great high priest, hear my humble prayers on behalf of your priests. Give them a deep faith, a bright and firm hope, and a burning love, which will ever increase in the course of their priestly life. In their loneliness, comfort them. In their sorrows, strengthen them. In their frustrations, point out to them that it is through suffering that the soul is purified. And show them that they are needed by the church. They are needed by souls. They are needed for the work of redemption. And so that's what we also, that's the intent of our daily show with the saints of the day. So thank you there, John.
All right. Well, I'm ready to close it out. And Donald, do you have the music for that, or shall I put on the closing?
Well, I can share this because it kind of goes with what we just shared there. So, and
okay.
So I know we all pray for our priests. I hope we all pray for our priests, whether you're in New Jersey or whether you're in Kansas or you're in Missouri or you're in Tennessee. So hopefully we're all out there, lifting up the hands of our priests, just like they lifted up and maintained Moses' hands up. So we pray for our priests.
It is time to pray for our priests, the real men in black.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on.
Without them, there are no sacraments. He counsels you. who counsels him. He is on the front lines in the war against sin.
I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side.
Now let us join together as we pray for our priest.
I'm the man in black.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.